الحمد لله، الحمد لله على حلمه بعد علمه وعلى عفوه بعد قدرته، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة، صدق الله العظيم. Respected علماء, elders and brothers, we begin by praising Almighty Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the words of Allah himself, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ, that Allah has done us a tremendous favor by sending our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from amongst humankind to guide and inspire and to teach us kitab and hikmah. Blessings and salutations be upon the best of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation, our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected brothers, when my honorable colleague Maulana Suleiman Sahab said that Maulana has been an annual feature in this program, it made me think that is this an honor or is this a responsibility, and how should we look at it? On one hand, there may be aspects of honor, but of course on the other hand, it places a great responsibility and sometimes an aspect of fear. Fear, are we good enough to be able to speak about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We all know the very famous Urdu poem which I like to quote at this occasion, Mustafa Mujtaba, Tere Madho Sana, Mere Bas Mein Nahi, Dastaras Nahi, Dil Ko Himmat Nahi, Lab Ko Yara Nahi, Tujhsa Koi Nahi, Tujhsa Koi Nahi. There is no one like you, O Prophet of Almighty Allah. My heart doesn't have the capacity, my tongue does not be able or behoove to be able to speak about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it is not something that we take pride in. It's also sometimes it gives us, and I say this from the bottom of my heart, gives you a nightmare. That, Ya Allah, you are calling me repeatedly to speak. Are we not perhaps being part of istidraj? Are we not perhaps? What is the reason when we know, when we are not in any way worthy of speaking about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This was brought in sharp focus when I heard recently a talk by Maulana Hanif Sahib from Gujarat in India, when he spoke about Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith, Hazrat Maulana Zakaria Sahib rahmatullah alayhi. And he said, Maulana Zakaria Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, in his time in Medina, I don't know at which juncture he was speaking about this incident. He said, while in Medina, when twice in the presence of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam's cover in the front. And that also is quite amazing, because he said, I went once with Hazrat Maulana bin Nuri rahmatullah alayhi, and once I went with Maulana As'ad Madni rahmatullah alayhi. And both the time I caught the kurta, and I went in the presence of the cover of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I didn't go beyond that because I felt I was not worthy. I went with those two personalities because they were sayyids. They were the progeny of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And I felt that if I went with one of the sons and children of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, perhaps my guna and sins will be covered and Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam will show mercy upon me. So this particular aspect of us speaking and listening about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, my dear respected brothers, is not only a bed of roses, it brings upon us a very great responsibility. The topic that we have at hand, and I think I need, we have limited time, so let me start going into it directly. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a family person. Now we all know that family is society in miniature. what the society is going to become, or what the society will be, it is a manifestation of what individual families would be. And that's the reason why I feel that this is such an appropriate thing. Because what families would be, societies would become. So what happens in our family life, ultimately society would echo that particular aspect that is in our family life. And that is why it is so important as a first step to get our family lives correct. If our family lives are correct, then we will find that the societies would become correct. And inshallah, I will elaborate on that. Of course, when we speak about the family life, Maulana Akhudi has very beautifully said that, of course, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam being a person who got married. And of course, marriage is the beginning of family life. We all know that marriage is the beginning of family life. When Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was in Jannah and he required a partner, despite all the beauties of Jannah, despite all the ni'mat of Jannah, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam required companionship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him companionship in the form of his spouse, not in the form of friends. At once. Especially, so be in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him a spouse as his companion when he sought out companionship. Now we must bear in mind that that particular relationship is together with it being sacred, together with it being sunnah, the nikah, this between husband and wife, it's also supposed to be one of companionship. I normally like to make the scope that it should not be like how Muslim women spend half their life looking for a husband and the other half wondering where he is. That's not supposed to be the way it's supposed. Now when we talk about this is the beginning of family life, but Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put him through various phases of family life. Various phases that human beings would deal with in the course of their life. And that would be an example. Because if Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not put through these phases, we would not have been able to glean examples from the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That for example, just giving an example, I don't have the time to go much into it, but this can be the form of a talk on its own. That Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam grew up as an orphan. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's father passed away before his birth. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's mother passed away in a very sad circumstances when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was traveling from Medina back to Makkah Mukarramah. And his mother passed away, leaving Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam alone between two cities. And Ummi Ayman brought Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What happens when a person grows up as an orphan? Right. Not that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was deprived of love. Halima Saadia, Abu Talib, Abdul Muttalib, more than adequately filled that up. But as an orphan, what happens? You find that there are three aspects that happen in the life of an orphan. One is a certain amount of deprivation. You don't get everything you want. You don't get everything you want. So there is a sense that when you have your parents, you can, the parents at your beck and call, especially in the age that you and I are living in. They say we, those who are middle-aged, between the age of 45, 50, 55 like me, we are a limited edition. You know why we are a limited edition? We are the people who are very obedient. We listen to our parents and now we listen to our children. We are a limited edition. Nevertheless, whatever it is, now what this particular aspect of often been is a sense of deprivation. A second thing is, there is a sense of independence. And the third thing is, in the absence of the parents, there is other influences that can come into play in the grow up of an orphan. There can be other influences that can play an important role in the development of an orphan. And in Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam's instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly influenced Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There is a reason why our ulama said that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam grew up as an orphan. No other influence, not even the influence of the parents, direct influence from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did Allah ta'ala say in wadduha? وَوَجَدَكَ ظَالًا فَهَدَى. Did we not seek you? Did not see you searching for guidance and looking for guidance, and we guided you. But these three aspects, as part and parcel of the family life of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam, teaches us also three things on how to look after your children. It teaches you, don't give them everything that they want. Don't spoil them. A certain sense of deprivation is healthy for their development. The second thing it tells you is that also Make them grow up with a sense of independence. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's childhood gave us that lesson. لَكَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. And the third thing it tells us, that do not only impose upon them your likes and dislikes. Don't impose upon them your likes and dislikes. Impose upon them the likes and dislikes of Allah. Tell them from time to time, I don't want your room to be unclean. Not because I don't like it, because Allah doesn't like it. Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin. Allah loves those who are clean. Do you realize the coming up of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as a child, being an orphan, three great lessons. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ غُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. But of course, when we talk about family life, then this particular aspect comes to mind. The aspect of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam being a married person. Now normally we all know that my friends normally do tell me that I have a particular prejudice. Now in this particular regard, and in this theme, and in today's topic, no one can accuse me of having a prejudice, because when you say Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a married person, and giving examples with regard to it, so the examples can only be with kindness towards women, because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a male. So there can be no accusations of prejudice. Just bear that in mind. So after understanding this, what do we learn from Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam's marital life? I will just give you certain points, and then in because of those points, I will give you examples of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first aspect in a marriage, there must be mutual counseling and support. Whatever there is, the husband's situation, if for example the husband is in a particular situation, the wife must support the husband. And vice versa also, the husband must support the wife. In this particular way, you will find that there will be barakah. Look at Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We all know the example of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam being supported by Hazrat Khadija at the occasion of the first wahi. And I will come towards that towards the end of my talk. But let me give you another example of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Mutual counsel. One day, as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in the beginning and initial stages of prophethood, one day she said, "Oh my husband, tell me when you receive revelation. Tell me when Jibreel comes to you. Tell me when he comes." So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I will tell you." So one day Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam has come." So the Khadija radiallahu ta'ala did an amazing thing, and this is in the books of Sirah. She took off her scarf. And when she took off her scarf, she asked, "Ya Rasulullah, oh my husband, is Jibreel still there?" And Nabi Sallam said, "Yes, now he is here." And then after the revelation, she said, "Oh my husband, be assured that this is revelation from Allah. This is Jibreel. This is an angel. If he would not have been an angel, he would have still remained there while I was covered, uncovered with my scarf. The moment I took off my scarf, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam went away." Look at that unique way of providing reassurance to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Can you imagine what a unique way of providing reassurance to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam? When Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he first received the wahi, he said, "Inni khashitu ala nafsi." I'm afraid with regard to this responsibility. Look at how Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam then gets reassured by Hazrat Khadija. So this we learn from the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that husband and wife are supposed to be. You know, that is the reason why Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala said, "I had no jealousy for other women or other wives that were had for Khadija radiallahu ta'ala." One day, the sister of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala knocked at the door. And when she said, "Assalamu alaikum," her voice in a small way resembled that of Hazrat Khadija. I saw the impact of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And because of my love for Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I said, "Ya Rasulullah, why do you think of an old woman when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you younger, and Allah has given you younger and other women and other wives?" And Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Oh Aisha, never inconvenience me about Khadija. She supported me when there was none who was there to support me. She brought iman upon me when there was very few who were prepared to bring iman upon me. And she sacrificed her life. She sacrificed her wealth at a time when there was none who were prepared to sacrifice for me. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. The ulama write that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in difficulty financially. Allah enriched him. Look at the tafsir, they say Allah enriched him the wealth of his wife Khadija. Mutual counseling and support. The second aspect is understand the temperament of your spouse. If you understand the temperament of your spouse and understand the mood of your spouse, you will be able to go very far. And that's why Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on one occasion told Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the incident is so beautiful, but look at the lesson that we are supposed to learn. Oh Aisha, I know when you are angry with me, or you are not so happy with me, and I know when you are happy with me. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala said, Ya Rasulullah, tell me, what is the situation? How do you know? She said, when you are happy with me, then in your conversation, you say, by the Lord of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when you are not so happy in your conversation, you say, by the Lord of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And Aisha said, Ya Rasulullah, that's only what I say with my tongue. My heart is all the time with you. How many of us know the temperament, know the nature of our wives? I don't want to take an examination. How many of us know the favorite color of our wife? How many of us know what our wives like and dislike? And don't say this is not piety. If it was not piety, why did Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tell Hazrat Aisha, I know your moods, I know. I know when you are happy, and I know when you are not happy with me. If you remove your to the spouse. Where do we learn this? We learn this from the example of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when we say لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, these are the type of things that we are supposed to take examples from. The third thing I would like to make mention is, don't skimp and don't be shy with regard to love and romance. Marriage is not only supposed to be a dour and serious affair. Marriage is not only supposed to be one in which you just fulfill your desires and just fulfill whatever you are supposed to get a pot of food. What about the emotional needs of one another? What about the romantic aspect? And it is so unfortunate way, you know, Maulana has made mention, Maulana Suleiman Saif said, that never ever let it happen. Feels that I will be better off with someone else. And if this is something wrong, then why did Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do it? And what do you find Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam doing? Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, on many occasions, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to place and he used to sleep on the lap of his wives. Not on one occasion, many occasions, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to sleep on the laps of his wives. Now in this way, if it ever it is done, can you imagine what type of love there would be created between the husband and wife? On one occasion, let me give you this a beautiful incident, that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on the lap of his wife Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. It was during one of those journeys in which Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala's jewelry got lost. And because Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala's jewelry got lost, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the entire army stop looking for the jewelry of his wife. Those people who say, don't become like the knocker of your wife. By the way of Allah, stopped an entire army looking for the jewelry of his wife. Right? And then, when this happened, the time of namaz was coming close. There was no wuzu water anywhere. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu got angry with his daughter. And he came into the tent. And when he came into the tent, he saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the lap of his daughter. He was angry. So because of his anger, he started poking Aisha radiallahu ta'ala everywhere. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala said, I could not protect myself because I didn't want to disturb my beloved husband sleeping on my lap. So I just took whatever my father was doing. And he said, because of you we got into this problem. Because of you there is no water. Where are the people going to make wuzu? And then when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got up, the ayats of tayammum were revealed. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala comes back and he said, "Oh my daughter, forgive me. How many times your aspects, whatever you have done, it has brought blessings to this ummah. Because of you, Hazrat Aisha, the ayats of tayammum has been made as a matter of accommodation for the ummah till the day of judgment." But where it came, I just read, brother, that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sleeping on Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala has left at that particular time. Then it is also very famous that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala used to comb the hair and the beard of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. Also Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while in itikaf, used to place his head upon the pillar, and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala used to put oil on the hair of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now can you imagine when love comes to such an extent that the couple, they want to do everything for the sake of their beloved ones. That is a type of love and that is a type of relationship Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had between him and his wives. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha used to comb the hair, used to apply oil on the hair, and they used to lie on the lap of one another. This is from the sunnah of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then also, there is also going to be casual interaction. There is not only supposed to be a situation where there is only serious matters, there is also supposed to be casual interaction between husband and wife. Sometimes there is laughter, sometimes there is an aspect of sharing a joke, sharing events. We all know that there was this hadith khurafa, and of course we know, we speak and say khurafat. What is the meaning of khurafat? There was a jinn, there was a story of a jinn. The person went and he got lost, and after he got lost he went into the colony of jinns, and he came back and he spoke all the stories of what he saw in the colony of jinns, and that became known as hadith khurafa. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard that from his wives, which is known as hadith khurafa. So sometimes there is an aspect with regard to casual interaction. There is jokes, there is speaking something informally, speaking things that are not so serious. All the time you're only giving bayan. But first of all, the wife is not going to listen to the husband bayan. Forget that. No matter how much we try. So rather, instead of doing that, rather speak about things casually. You are more likely to get things done and more likely to have an impact through the means of such discussion than to give a long bayan. There you go again. The moment you start your bayan, they say, "There you go again." Casual interaction. On one occasion, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Sauda radiallahu ta'ala came, and at that particular time, there was some sweet that was prepared. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala said that, "Oh Sauda, you eat it." And she said, "I'm not going to eat it." For whatever reason, maybe she was not in the mood or she didn't want to eat. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala said, "You better eat, otherwise I'm going to force you to eat." And then Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala took that particular, you know, pudding and whatever it was, and forced it down the throat of Hazrat Sauda until her entire face was filled with that particular dish that was prepared. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw this. It is in Sunan al-Nisa'i. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after this was done, told Hazrat Sauda, "All right, you now do the same to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala." Now there is this particular aspect in a Gujarati culture. If these things happen, Allah knows what we're going to say. Subhanallah, what's this, all these things happening. Then another aspect is, in every marriage there is going to be certain aspects in which there is going to be a little bit of difference of opinion. So how do you deal with the difference of opinion? Let me give you two examples of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a married person. On one occasion, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala came past, and he saw that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, they were having some sort of words. Nowadays they say, the husband and the wife, normally the husband has certain words with the wife, and the wife has certain paragraphs with the husband. Normally that's the way it happens in today's time. Nevertheless, I'd say, and remember this what I'm saying, in an ideal marriage, in a marriage in which a wife loves the husband, there is going to be times sometimes where she will express her anger, because she doesn't have any other outlet for her to express her anger. So when she expresses her anger to her husband, don't take it necessarily as negative. Sometimes it is an aspect of her valuing you. She doesn't have any other way, any other outlet to be able to take out her anger. So now Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was saying few things and her voice became slightly high. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala was passing by, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu got angry, And he came into the room and he said, how dare you speak to the Nabi of Allah like that? That relationship was right for Abu Bakr to say that. And Hazrat Aisha and Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, their relationship was right for her to say those things. So just remember this. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came and he wanted to discipline her and rebuke her. And what did she do? Amazing. Just before that she was expressing anger to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, she stood behind Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And as she stood behind Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam protected her from her father. And then when she went away, Hazrat Abu Bakr went away because couldn't do anything. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Hazrat Aisha, see how I protected you from your father. See how I protected you from your father. Then Hazrat Abu Bakr came after a while. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came after a while, he saw that the situation was more relaxed. And what did Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said? He said, Subhanallah. He said, now let me be part and parcel of peace and the relaxed atmosphere the way I wanted to make an interference at a time when there was some sort of tension at that particular time. On one occasion, this is even a more amazing incident. Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha, you know, used to cook. Now, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says that she used to envy the cooking of Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha the most. Because Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha used to cook well. So one day, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha cooked something. And she cooked something, and then when she had just finished cooking, Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha sent something to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And because she was a very good cook, Hazrat Aisha said, all my effort is gone. That this particular dish is going to be better from Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha. So what she did, and I will tell you the reason with regard to it, what she did, she toppled the dish. She toppled the dish and the entire dish fell down. It was not worthy of eating. And what did Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I can imagine what would happen in today's time, subhanallah. You know, we will make such a big thing. And what did Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he just calmed the situation down and said, your mother had become possessive. Your mother had become possessive. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala used to say about her possessiveness to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One day Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was gone to the Qabristan. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala followed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw someone in a black robe. And as he came back, he saw Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala huffing and puffing and said, did you follow me? Did you pursue me? Why did you pursue me? Ya Rasulullah, I thought you had gone to go and see one of the other wives. And there is one statement Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha made whenever she had this particular possessiveness. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, why? And she said, why should one like me not be jealous regarding one like you? Why should one like me not be jealous with regard to someone like you? There is such an amazing incident. Sometimes, you know, the Ummahatul Mu'mineen are very great and they are means of guidance for our mothers and our sisters. But they were human beings who had normal emotions. And as they were very great, their emotions were also great. One amazing aspect was this, that one day we're going to a journey. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to take one or two wives. So in this particular journey, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took Hazrat Aisha and Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha. And when this particular aspect happened, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to come at a particular time to Hazrat Aisha, because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam loved Hazrat Aisha the most after Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. So in this particular way, Hazrat Hafsa one day said, why don't we just change our tents? Today you stay in my tent, I stay in your tent. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala naively said, yes, we will do so. So as they did so, then Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam came in the same tent expecting Hazrat Aisha to be there. Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala was there. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued speaking to Hazrat Hafsa till Hazrat Aisha waited and waited and then realized that Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala had changed the tent because she wanted Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam to speak to her. And do you know what she did? She went outside, and when she went outside, there used to be a type of grass that many a times there used to be scorpions that used to come in those grass. And out of extreme love for Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she put her hand and her feet there and said, let there be a scorpion that comes and eat me, because what I have done in terms of the love that she had for Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I missed out on those conversations with Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was the love that they had for our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was also amazing in the marital life of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the humility of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in Tirmidhi there is a hadith that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to patch his sandals, sew his garments, and conduct himself at home in such a way that many a times you and I won't be able to do so. He would be able to do domestic chores. And in conclusion, I would like to make mention of one or two things, and this one is important for us. No matter what we feel today, because sometimes we don't seem to get the right balance in terms of our community, our individual interaction with women. Remember this one particular aspect, that women were created from the rib. Right? They were created from the rib of men, not from the head to dominate. Is this also important? They say there was a notice in one of the restaurants, all our waiters are married and know how to take orders. Now, they were not separate from the head to nominate. They were not created from the feet to be trampled upon. They were created under the arms to be protected. They were created under the arms to be protected, and they were created next to the heart to love. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to love his wife so much and to care for their needs. Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala one day had back pain. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a small cushion for her to be able for her to sit on the camel. And he put his knees near the camel and told Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala, "You climb on my knees and then you come upon the camel." When Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala has camel became slow at the time of Hajjatul Wida, and she complained about it and she started crying because the camel broke down. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and saw her crying, and Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam wiped her tears away and said, "Don't cry, I will make other arrangements." This is how Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to look after the needs of his wives. And in this particular regard, one of the very important things is, do not let your own insecurities, don't let your own insecurities stifle the progress of your womenfolk. And one of the reasons why Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was this, because of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala's talent. If there is a particular talent that your wife has, and that doesn't mean that you must become insecure, you help her with regard to her talent. So that is the reason why Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala the most, because of her keen intellect, her questioning, her knowledge. A very substantial percentage of the ummah's knowledge came from Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala says, and just remember this one beautiful thing, he said, mashtakala ashaba rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever the ashab had any difficulty with regard to any fiqh issue, any aspect with regard to tafsir, the Quran and hadith, where did they go? They went to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, and more often than not, in fact most of the time, they used to get suitable answers to their queries or to their whatever questions they had with regard to Quran and hadith. That is why after the ghazwa of Dhatu Salasil, one day Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala anhu came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "Ya Rasulullah, who do you love most?" And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instinctively said, "Aisha." And then he said, "That who do you love most amongst the males?" He said, "Aisha's father." Subhanallah. Just look at this. One day, the wives of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of the intense love that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, they sent Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say that the other wives are saying that perhaps you have too much of love for Nabi. And that love was not for the sake of personal reasons. Our ulama say it was not because of the beauty of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. There were perhaps other wives that were perhaps more beautiful. But it was because of her intellect, because of her keenness in understanding the deen of Almighty Allah. Look at how many things we learn from Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. On one occasion, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is not permissible to get any woman married until you get her consent. No statement. But may we be sacrificed upon our mother. She asked the question, "Ya Rasulullah, a woman is still young, a girl is still young. She is 15, 16, 17 years old. Right? She is modest, naturally modest. If they ask her, do you want to get married to such and such a person? Ya Rasulullah, sometimes out of shyness, she might not be able to say yes." Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if she is unable to say yes because of modesty, then her silence is regarded to be consent. Where do we learn this? We learn this from Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. It was Aisha radiallahu ta'ala who taught us this. One day Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever loves meeting Allah, Allah loves meeting him. Right? So Aisha said, "Ya Rasulullah, no one loves to meet Allah, no one likes to die. What does it mean? And immediately Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, before you die, Allah Ta'ala shows you your reward and abode in Jannah. When a Muslim sees his abode in Jannah, sees the reward Allah Ta'ala has kept, then he loves meeting Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. He doesn't talk about normal circumstances. One day a person came to our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Aisha, this person is amongst the people that people fear because of his vulgarity. He doesn't have a very good conduct. He is very vulgar. He is a person we must stay away from. But yet when he came, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke to him civilly. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke to him beautifully. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam treated him well. And immediately after he went, now look at all of this, where did we learn from? We learned from Hazrat Aisha. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he went to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, said, Ya Rasulullah, you said he's vulgar, you said he's like this, you said he's like that, yet you treated him so well, you spoke so well to him. What is the reason? And look at the answer Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, oh Aisha, the worst of people are those who people shun and stay away from because of their vulgarity and their lack of conduct. The worst of people are those. And I wonder sometimes, today you and I, we take it as a matter of pride. Mato ine hamrawe dido, mato ine evoke dido, and mare hambe ne aave pachi. He'll never come in front of me. I told him whatever I want to tell him. We take it as a matter of pride. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the worst of people are those that people stay away from because of their tongue, because of the vulgarity of their tongue. This was, and that is why Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had so many different type of marriages. One of the reasons was that every the different aspects. Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala was sensitive. Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala had children. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got married to her to show the ummah, how do you get married to someone who is sensitive? And how do you deal with someone if you get married to them and if they have children? Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala was prone to anger. How do you deal with someone who is prone to anger? Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was keen, intellect, enthusiastic, had great knowledge. How do you deal with someone who is like that? Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala was very loyal, and she was the one who supported Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How do you used to deal with that? And that is why, with regard to Hazrat Aisha, the Arabic poet had said, Ya Mubghidi, La Ta'ti Qabra Muhammadin, Fal Baytu Bayti, Wal Makanu Makani. Those who hate Aisha, then let them not come to the Qabr of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Why? Because that place where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lays buried is the house of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. It is the apartment of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. There are so many other things, but time has elapsed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a small glimpse of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as a family man and as a married person.